going on, guys? Welcome to the next episode of the Mayor Savvy Podcast. My name is John Bautista. I'm your co-host. And in today's episode, we're going to be bringing back Melissa Griffin for another discussion with Kim Bowen about children, parenting, and therapy. In today's show, they're going to be talking about the discussion people might have with their children about divorce. A lot of the time, parenting is just really hard. It's just really difficult. And so our experts today are going to be leaving us with an encouragement about how to meet parents where they are at on their own parenting journey. Coming up on today's show. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or qualified healthcare provider for any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and or mental illness.
Hey, Melissa, welcome back.
Thanks. So excited to be back.
So excited to have you back. You've got so much knowledge that I just want to share with everyone. And I don't think we'll cover it all even over a couple of podcasts. We may just have to have you as a regular. I don't know.
Let's do it. Sign me up.
Wellness, you know, week of the month or something. I don't know. So let's just start with some of the, last time we talked, we kind of hit some of the broader topics, but I want some specifics.
Okay. Let's do it.
So jump in. How do you tell your kids you're getting a divorce?
Oof. Okay. Let me just preface this podcast, this episode. I think there's not going to be any one black or white answer to these tough, tough questions coming up that we're going to cover today.
We've done it.
Yep. Yep. Right there. There is not a right way to do these things that we're going to talk
about. Oh, but there's a wrong way.
There's a wrong way, but there's not a right way. I think there are some like best practices that we can implement here. So we're sitting down, we're telling our kids about divorce. We're saying, okay, here's what's going to happen. There's a couple of things you want to keep in mind. First, we want to keep in mind that we want to be clear and we want to stick to the facts. We want to be very factual with these things. We also want to be age appropriate. So while we're being factual, it is okay to omit certain things because it's just not age appropriate for your kids to know. They developmentally, they can't handle it.
Yeah. Mommy had an affair. It's probably not something you want to say to your 6-year-old.
I mean, even your 13 year old.
Yeah. Even your 20-year-old might not even know that.
Yeah. It's okay to omit information. I would also encourage parents, don't make any promises when you're having this conversation. And the timing matters for when you have this conversation. Do it when, and what I mean by that, I'm not saying wait till they're really happy and nothing's going on, right? No. What I mean is make sure you set aside time to give this conversation attention because you don't know how your child's going to react. I've seen some kids react with nonchalantness, okay, cool. Saw that coming, whatever, right? We've got some sassy pantses out there. And then I've also seen kids just break down and just be so upset. And so whatever response your child gives you is okay. And we're just going to give them the space for that response. And if it is super upset, please don't say things don't try to make it better, right? Don't be but now you get two Hanukkahs or whatever, right? That doesn't help.
Too soon.
You get two bedrooms and two. No, we're not doing that. So just in this space, just let them feel what they feel. Let them ask their questions. Answer honestly, but only the question. The other thing I see a lot of parents do is their child will ask a question and then parents get a little bit rambly and they'll be like, okay, but in this situation, right? No, just 10 words or less. If you can try to keep it to 10 words or less and then stop. And wait and let your child think and process. And then if they want to ask another question, they can.
So I love that you said be honest because if, a lot of times marriage is in when one person wants out and the other one doesn't.
Uh-huh.
And they insist that you tell the kids in a unified front. Mm-hmm. Mommy and daddy have decided that we need to get a divorce. And the other parent's like, wait a minute, I didn't want this.
But I didn't decide that.
I didn't decide that. I don't have a 26-year-old thing on the side while you're... No. but sometimes it is like that, right? And yeah, so yeah. What we tell... I'm just really interested if you and I agree on this or not. But what we teach clients to do is respectfully decline to be the unified front, but you don't throw your partner under the bus either. So it's very nuanced. It's not, well, your dad has got a fling and doesn't want us anymore. It would be extremely damaging.
Right. Not age appropriate either.
And not age appropriate, right? But also, but I think it's important to be honest, which mm-hmm. is, you know, sometimes yeah. marriage, sometimes two people don't want the same things.
So it is truthful to say that mommy and daddy just don't want the same things anymore. And it is also truthful to say that, you know, sometimes people grow apart and that's okay. And we are making the best choice for our family that we know how to make in this moment with the information that we have.
Right.
And then I think we can stop, right? Because the kids don't need all the information. And that covers being truthful, but it covers being age appropriate. And it covers mm-hmm. being... It covers being a united front without being united.
Yes.
That kind of makes sense?
Yes, it does, which is respecting that marriage, for a marriage to be, to stay a marriage, you have to have both people committed to it. And you just might not, but that doesn't mean you don't have both people committed to maintaining the respect
mm-hmm.
and the family
mm-hmm.
Unit.
Yeah.
And holding that in regard.
So. I think let's reframe what united front means. United front does not mean that mom and dad agree on everything. That doesn't even mean that in a marriage that's still together.
That's right.
United front means we are here making decisions for our children because it's about our children. And especially when you're having this conversation with your kids, it's not about you. It's about giving the space for your kids to understand this and process it. And so that doesn't mean that mom and dad have to agree. You just have to figure out how to say it in a way that feels true and still holds mom and dad as that united front in a way,
In a parenting way. I think that's really important because I've seen a lot of marriages end that are not united in any way.
Right.
And one does feel abandoned. Mm-hmm. Right. And would do anything to save the marriage. And the other one is just not. And so we actually worded it together in therapy and it took the entire session to do it. But it was good. I mean, it was honest and authentic and good. And it didn't throw the parent under the bus, but it was very clear the other parent didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Took a lot of nuancing.
Yeah. But I think in that situation as well, you really need to be working with a therapist
mm-hmm.
in order to have some of those really nuanced and harder conversations.
Yeah.
Because they're going to know your story. They're going to know your culture as a family. They're going to know your cadences. Mm-hmm. I hope they would. And that's going to make a huge difference to have that objective person to be able to kind of walk you through how to have those harder conversations.
The most important thing that I tell clients that are getting divorced is your kids want to know how their lives are going to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And is it going to be okay? Where mm-hmm. am I going to be living? Wow. You know, what does this mean for me?
Mm-hmm. Kids are very egocentric, right? That's developmentally, that's just where they are. It's their world and we're just all living in it. And that's okay.
Yeah. So, and it's appropriate.
And it's appropriate. Yeah. And I think what you said back, I love what you said, is when you lie to your kids, you break truth. You break trust. Sorry. When you lie to your kids, you break that trust. And that goes back to, throwback to the last episode where we were talking about safety, or consistency breeds safety, which breeds that secure attachment.
Yeah.
And so when we start breaking that trust, we start to break those attachments. But I think it's important to point out here that when you start talking bad about the other parent, you are breaking trust, because that is so confusing for kids. Both parents are put on a pedestal here. And when you start saying bad things about the other one, they're like, what? I thought mommy was I thought mommy knew everything. I thought mommy was great. Mommy's supposed to love and protect me. And now you're telling me she doesn't, you know, X, Y, Z. So I think it can be really scary for kids. And I've never seen it go well when a parent starts talking about badly.
So you know how when kids are little, you stick them in a car seat and you're in the driving and you're talking and you're saying things that you wouldn't say in front of them if they could understand you? Right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
At what age do you need to be careful of that?
Oh, okay. Listen, my firstborn started talking like full sentences, 5+ words at like, I don't know, 14 months, mm-hmm. like full conversations at 14 months.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. 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 I remember one day he was
kind of exciting.
And it was like, yeah. And you know, first time mom, you're like, oh my gosh, my kid's talking so early. But he also understood everything so early. So we had to be really, really careful about what we said and how we said it. Because if we said something that his little brain couldn't quite comprehend and it sounded a little scary, then, you know, he showed signs of anxiety and he would get anxious and he would start crying. And you were like, what the heck? Why are you throwing a tantrum right now? Well, kind of because we said something that scared him, but he didn't understand. It may not have been scary. Mm-hmm. So again, nuanced, right? But like definitely by the time if your child is talking, then you need to be careful about what you're saying in front of your child.
Even if you feel like they're not understanding the concepts or anything, you've got to be really careful.
I think so. Well, and because even if they can't understand the concepts, one, that leads room for misinterpretation. And little kids, they will come up with wild things, right, to when they misinterpret. And then two, kids are very right-brained when they're that little. And so they're very intuitive with other people's emotions. And so even if they don't understand you, but you're having a heated conversation, they pick up on the vibes. They know something's not right. Something doesn't feel safe, right? So even for that reason alone, like, let's just save it for later.
But if you're on the phone talking about what a jerk your co-parent is, your kid's hearing that.
Your kid's hearing that, yeah.
And that's messing with them, isn't it?
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That is a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when dad's an alcoholic and mom is single parenting most of the time, trying her best, right?
Mm-hmm.
And dad is not showing up when he needs to, or he can't blow clean, so he can't get the child.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kid is, I mean, just 4 years old, but... It's tough. Yeah, it's really tough. How honest and at what age do you start being honest? Like, how do you say, you know, daddy's not here because of, or do you?
Again, nuanced. No black or white answer. I really, in this situation, when we have alcoholics who are our parents as well, I think it's really important to be age appropriately honest with your children for many reasons. One, alcoholism is a genetic thing. So a child who has an alcoholic parent is way more predestined to have alcoholism themselves, predetermined to have that gene. So talking about these things when they're present in their life early and giving them the education about it is going to be super important. And I highly encourage parents to do that through a program. There's lots of programs for kids who have alcoholic parents, and or through another therapist that just knows how to walk these waters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we're having those conversations, because inevitably what happens is, you know, dad doesn't show up. Kiddo says, "Why didn't dad show up? Does he not love me?" Right?
They always think that, don't they?
They always think that, so they internalize it. And so it's really important to address it so your child doesn't internalize it and think it's their fault. And then we want to use age-appropriate language, and we want to say things to them like, that's factual, right? Like, maybe we say something like, daddy's an alcoholic, and he's sick. He has a sickness, and it's really hard for him to control it, and it's really hard for him to think straight. It has nothing to do with you. You did not cause this. You did not do anything wrong. This is daddy's deal. And, you know, we're just going to hope that, and, you know, if you're religious, maybe we say we hope and pray that he gets better. But when he's not okay, we're going to choose to not talk with him very often. And when he is okay, we're going to see him as much as we can.
Right? I love
that. We're setting boundaries, we're explaining it. But gosh, it's hard. The other thing I see that happens is parents really want to protect their kids from pain, from the pain of abandonment. And that is heartbreaking. And so I have to tell parents, you're not going to be able to do that. The only thing you can do is help your kids cope with that abandonment or that disappointment or that letdown or that hurt. You can't take it away from them though. You just can't.
Because the fact is their parent is an alcoholic and they're going to have to deal with that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it is heartbreaking.
It is.
You know, it's so hard to know, like when they're drinking and they're not doing well, it's like they may lash out at the child. They may say things they shouldn't say. And you know, you have to let your child have some exposure to some of that. Right? It's like, do you have any advice or tips for how to navigate that? Yeah. These are tough questions, Melissa. I'm sorry. I've got you on the hot seat, but.
These come up. And unfortunately, it's not the first time I've been asked these questions either. So it's a very real prevalent thing in our society. I think, first of all, you need to look at that conservatorship agreement that we have. Are there any contingencies in that paperwork that says if parent is not following X, Y, and Z requirements, then child may not go with parent? Mm-hmm. And if that's not the case, then maybe we go back and we get that put in.
If it's
that much of a problem, right? If it's not in there, that's when things get a little bit tricky. And I don't have all the best answers for it. But what I can say is, you know, at the end of the day, you got to do what's right for your child. And you've got to make choices that you can sleep with at night.
That's right.
And if you're not feeling safe, then and parent is, I don't know, coming and demanding that he goes, but dad is clearly drunk and it's not safe for the child to go, then we have to take certain actions and that can look different in different counties, whether that's we have to call the police and, you know, get the police involved, or we just say no and then we call our lawyer. It just can look very different, but you got to follow your best instinct with the information that you have in that moment and in that situation.
And remembering to build on like what we've been saying is their physical safety is the number one thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if you feel like it's not safe, you just can't allow it.
Right.
And you do whatever you have to legally to protect yourself to do that. But also that consistency, honesty, age appropriateness of something is off here, but it's not you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. It's not you. You didn't do anything wrong. You just can't go with daddy tonight. Something's off. Something doesn't seem right. We're going to get daddy help first. And then you'll be able to see him again.
Yeah. So the other question I have might be related to this or something else, but when you're co-parenting after a divorce, you know, some parents just suck. Just do.
Yeah, they do.
They are critical, or they're mean, or they have a temper, or they just would do things you would never. You just don't want your kid around it, but you don't have a legal reason not to, right?
Yeah. Like,
it's just a sucky parent, not a.
Yep. Yep.
Not something that qualifies as abuse, right? And the laws will tell you, and I think it's true that a bad parent's better than no parent, as long as it's not too bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, how do you navigate that with, I guess that's more in your own head as a parent to know that your child's in less than ideal situations.
Yeah, I think so. I think like in situations like this, right? Documentation is always really important. So whenever something happens, just get a notebook, document what happened and just have that because like we said in the beginning, you don't know what's going to happen when you're going through a divorce. So just, you know, dot your I's, cross your T's. I think this also comes back to values. So when I'm working with parents, I do a lot of value work. What are our values? Why? What's the point of saying no to, you know, whatever the situation is? And it can be something simple like, I'll give you a personal one. Last night we were trying to get the kids in bed, and my husband was like, hey, oldest child, please go upstairs and put your jammies on 30 minutes early before bedtime. And he was like, no, I don't want to do that yet. And then what do we have? We have a power struggle, and now we're power struggling. I'm over here, a child therapist and a parent coach, watching this train wreck, trying to not like overstep and undermine my husband.
Your husband looking at you going, really? I don't pay you to be my therapist. So.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm like, oh God. All right. So when I got a moment, I pulled him aside and I was like, why are we fighting this battle? He can change his clothes in like 2.3 seconds. Why are you insisting that he puts his jammies on right now? Right. So we go back to that values. Like, what's the purpose? What's the lesson? When we talk about punishment or discipline, I don't like punishment because it's not discipline. Parents get that confused a lot. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that our next podcast, though.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, yeah. When we talk about discipline, right, discipline literally means to teach. So mm-hmm. What are you teaching your children? So when we have a situation where one parent just sucks, right? And my husband doesn't suck. I just use that as a...
I really
He's really great. He's a great parent. but when we do have one that just like sucks and the other one is like trying to teach these values, right?
Right.
That's when we kind of just go back to, okay, and when you're with me in our house, these are our values. These are what we find really important. And this is how we choose to live our life. Your dad has different ideas of what is okay and what's not okay, but these are what I think is what's okay and what's not okay. And then we leave it at that because, again, we're going to go back to modeling. Mom is going to live out those values. And I think the best feeling for a lot of parents is one day when that child grows up and they look at you and you're like, wow, Mom, why does Dad suck so much? Right? And that mom is like, yes.
Yes, validation.
Finally.
Like, fair question.
Yeah. But you right? want to be that safe person that they can come and do that to.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, and this is true too. Your kid is going to be less likely to do that if you've been trying to tell them how your dad sucks as a right. person.
Exactly. Yeah. The right? more, yeah. Cause they're going to look back and they're going to be like, Mom never said anything bad. Never. Not yeah. once. And he sucks. That was hard for her. Right. Right.
I'd sure rather be looked at like that than both my parents suck. One was, you know, one really did suck and the other one kept trying to tell me how much one sucked.
So. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Listen, it's just hard being a parent. And I think the thing that kind of changed I kind of turned things on their head for me. So I grew up, my kids were in like good school districts and parents were putting their kids through college programs in middle school.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Right. And I was like, holy cow. And I read a book called The Blessing of a B-. Have you ever read that book?
No, but I'm going to.
The Blessing of a B-. I can't remember the author. But it was talking about basically just good enough. Yeah. Like we have given up good enough.
Yeah. No, we have to be excellent.
Yes. And yeah. pushing them to always be the best and strive for more. And somebody's always coming up behind you and is going to take that spot or that. Mm. And talking about how, so what? You get into Harvard. So what? Like, I know, what does that even mean in the grand scheme of things to have? I'd rather have a healthy, well-balanced kid who feels competent and has good self-esteem than, you know.
Well, I'll tell you another phrase I absolutely hate in the parenting world. Do your best.
Ooh.
I hate that phrase.
I've used that phrase so much.
Oh, I've used it too. Don't get me wrong.
Just do your best. I'll love you if you just do your best.
Just do your best. I hate that. You know why? Because I'll tell you why. I'm not even going to wait for you to answer. I'm just going to tell you right now. I hate it because do your best is what we mean when we say do your best is do your best relative to how you're feeling right now. But we don't say that. So all kids hear is do your best, which means I've got to give 100%.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's not what we mean, or at least not what I mean when I say that as a parent, right? I'm saying, are you at 50%? Cool. Can you give me 20%? Great. I'm satisfied.
Because that's your best today.
Because that's 20%. Your best today. Yeah.
You're right. That's what we mean. But when they hear, you're right. What they're hearing is, I've got to always bring it.
Mm-hmm.
Always bring it all. I don't do my best every day.
Oh, no.
How would you reframe that to where it communicates this idea of like you're meeting them where they're at, mm-hmm. and giving them grace and compassion? Like, how would you reframe that?
I think something I've tried in my house, and I'm still workshopping, what is the replacement phrase is what you're really asking me, right? So I'm still workshopping this, but I think what I've tried in my house is, as I've said, so we, in my house, we have the metaphor of like a battery or a bucket or something like that. So like, how full is your battery right now? How full is your bucket? If your bucket's at the top, you're ready to go, you're feeling good. And then we also have a family bucket too. Our family, if your bucket is empty and then you start taking from our family bucket, guess what happens to everybody else's buckets? Oh, they also get empty, right? So I didn't come up with this. There's a whole book about this. I can't take credit. But I think what we say in our house is like, all right, where's your bucket at? Well, it's only about halfway full. Okay. That's fine. Give me what you can. Just give me what you can.
I love that. And John, we talk about couples that doing that too. Brene Brown did a podcast about it actually. And it's like, where are you today? Like checking in with your spouse. Like, where are you today? Today I'm a 7. Okay. Well, today I'm a 3.
So you're 7.
Come on, I need your 7 today. I need your 7. Yeah. It's giving each other a lot of grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
How would you encourage people that are co-parenting or parents that are struggling, but man, they are doing the best that they can with what they have, right? Like, how would you encourage them? Like, what would you leave with them?
I mean, kind of similar to the last episode, right? Like, it's okay to make mistakes as a parent. It's okay to not have the answers. It's okay to say to your kid, you know what? I don't have the answer for that question right now. So I'm going to have to think about that one and we'll come back to it later. It's okay to not be the best parent and then just know how to repair later. And I think like the most important thing is like just for parents to remember, if you are going through a divorce, that when you're working with your kiddo, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about your emotions. It's not about the wrongdoings that have happened to you. It's about your kiddo. So just put all that aside and just love on your child. Just love them, reassure them, give them a hug, give them a kiss, whatever, however you show affection in your family. And those little moments like that are going to go a really long way.
Thank you for that. I love that. I think you're right. I think most of us are just doing the best we can. And it's the being consistently nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it, being consistently nurturing.
Yeah, we solved parenting. That's it. All you have to do.
That quick, it's done.
The answer.
It's quick, it's done.
Yeah.
So good. The conversations that we have, especially whenever they're impacting others, it's helpful to keep in mind that it's not about us. It's about helping others navigate even what's going on with us, especially when there are children. Man, such good things. Well, that wraps up today's episode. We hope that you guys enjoyed that. I'm your co-host, John Bautista. You've been listening to the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. We'll see you guys on the next episode. You guys stay savvy. Peace.